our loving and most gracious Father. It is because you live that I will see tomorrow. It is because you live, Lord, that I can humbly come to you today and say, Lord, speak through me. For there is nothing on me that I could share, but you, Lord, you have a message today to share. Lord, it is because you live that there will be one day that I will not be suffering. There will not be any more suffering, no more sickness. We will be with you for eternity because you live. I love you. I need you. I thank you. I worship you. I am in awe of you. But Lord, please forgive me and cleanse me and use me in whatever capacity you would like. In Christ's name, amen. We actually have a choir that we're going to be singing for Christmas. So here I am singing through this mask. I don't know how we're going to do a whole concert with a mask on. But well, God is the one that gives. And I almost took my mask off and sang that way because it's just so difficult because the mask is actually grabbing hold of you. And you wondered, okay, what are we going to do? You're probably sitting there and you are wondering, what does the title of the sermon have to do with the scripture reading? What does the title of the sermon, Great Is Not Enough, has to do with Genesis chapter 3, verse 5? In order to answer that, I've got to go first to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So let's go there first. How many know that verse by heart? Go ahead and recite it. In the beginning. In the beginning, there was a God. In the beginning, there was not only a God. In the beginning, there was a God that did something marvelous. There was a God that created. And then it goes in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And then what happens? He starts the creation process. In the beginning, there was a God, and that God started the creation process, and every day that he created, he would finish with the sentence or the word that it is good. And he goes to the first day, and it is good, and the second day, and it is good, and then he gets to the seventh day. And what is it that he says? It is very good. It is very good. Under this context, then let's go over to our sermon title, because good is good and great is better. So great is very good. But then we get to chapter 3. We get to chapter 3 and something happens in chapter 3. There's a little scenario that's happening in chapter 3, and I'm going to start with verse 1 of chapter 3. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? We have a weird conversation happening here. First of all, how many feel that it's weird that it's a serpent talking to a woman? I don't know. For me, that is kind of weird in the sense there's a serpent talking to a woman. Second of all, why is the serpent talking to the woman? We'll uncover that in a second. Let's go to verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden." So that means that we are in a place, if we know that there is a garden that has a multitude of fruits for you to enjoy. There's a multitude of things for the woman to be able to enjoy, yet she is faced in front of a serpent, and she is asked a question that she knows the answer to, but she knows, "I could eat of every fruit in the garden." Is that the question that he asked? No, that's not the question that he asked, but it's giving us context. It's giving us context that the woman had a lot of things to choose from, but at this point, she has found herself on a pickle situation. She's found herself on a difficult situation because now she's been asked a question in which she really doesn't understand the question, because she's saying, "Well, we can eat of all the fruits." But let's see if she really understands the question in verse 3. "But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, and that verse stops there," correct? Should that verse stop there? If we read what God told the woman, which will continue, that verse should surely stop there. There shouldn't be any more discussion. God, in his infinite mercy, who created this great place for me, have told me I should not eat of this fruit. But then it continues and it says, "Neither shall I do what? Neither should I touch it, lest I die." Therefore, we have encountered a misspeaking. Is there another word for misspeaking? Flat out lie. There's something that shouldn't be there. Did God tell her not to touch it? God told her, "Don't go anywhere near it." God said, "Don't go anywhere near it." And here we have a situation in which she is living in the greatest, most wonderful creation of the world, but great is not good enough for her. So now she's found in a difficult situation, and now she has to ask herself, "Why am I here?" We get to verse 4. "And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die." We're talking about what book on the Bible? We're talking about Genesis. We are in chapter 3 of Genesis. God has just finished making all in perfect succession, and yet now we are found in a difficult situation that the enemy is telling the woman, "Your creator God, the one that gave you everything for you to have, the one that has given you the fruits for you to eat, has lied to you, and he knows." And we get to verse 5. "For God does know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." Let me ask you a question. When we go back to Genesis 1:1, at any moment did God doubt his creation? At any moment did God say, well, I need to kind of tweak here, I need to kind of tweak there? Or did he say every day that he created, what I created was what? Was good. And when he got to the seventh day, he said, what I created was very good. Would a God that created everything perfect keep something? You know, I was mentioned on the Sabbath school that I was born on a Sabbath, and on a Friday, and on Sabbath I was at church. And I tell you that I have been through my whole life, I have been totally searching. I have been looking. Did my parents truly teach me the truth? Do I know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Is what I've been taught the truth? This is totally different than the scenario that we're looking at. This is totally different than what scenario, because here Eve is in a place where A, she need not be. Did this scenario need to happen? No. She need not have been anywhere near. Could the enemy have tempted Eve anywhere outside the garden, outside this particular place? No, he couldn't. The only place that he could have tempted her is at this particular place at this particular moment. Each one of us have that struggle. Each one of us have to go and understand, where do we set ourselves? Where do we go? Who do we encounter with? Who do we associate with? How are we learning? How are we studying? How are we loving? How are we connecting with him that created in Genesis, and him who is coming back in Revelation? Because unless we know him who created in Genesis and him who is coming back in Revelation, this scenario could be happening to you right now. At this very moment, the enemy might be telling you, are you sure? Are you sure that what you have learned for 52 years, and now you're learning now, are you sure that this now is the truth and that then was a lie? And the serpent continues in saying, because God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you'll be knowing good and evil. May I ask you a question? Do we want to know evil? I surely don't. I was telling again in the lesson study that I've been in the church all of my life. I've had the pleasure of not knowing what tobacco feels like, or what drugs feels like, or what alcohol tastes like. But I could assure you that I am blessed for it. I assure you that I've seen the evidence of it. I've seen what those do. So at this moment, I want you to just put yourself in a situation in which God is trying to touch. God is trying to enter into your life and trying to tell you, is great not good enough for you? Luis, what are you talking about? How can you say that this is great? How can you say, do you not know that I'm feeling ill? Do you not know that my life is falling around me? Do you not know that my children are not in church? Do you not know that everything, that there are individuals that are sick around me? Do you not know that COVID is all around us? Do you not know that there was an earthquake that happened in Turkey? Do you not know that there are floods happening in El Salvador? Do you not know that there is fires in all the places? How can you say that this is great? Brothers and sisters, if you were born in a communist country, I would tell you this is great. I can assure you that this is great. I can assure you that what God has given you, even with all of the struggles, with all of the things that are happening in your life, God has given you a great opportunity to be able to understand this book, a love letter from Genesis to Revelation. I could assure you that being able to understand what this book is trying to tell you and follow what this book is trying to tell you, it is the greatest gift that you have been bestowed upon yourself. I could assure you that knowing that there is a Savior that kneeled on the ground and formed you, that there's a Savior that came from heaven to this earth, that there's a Savior that taught you what sin was, and there's a Savior that died on the cross, and there's a Savior that has forgiven your sins, and there's a Savior that is soon to come, and there's a Savior that is going to tell you, don't worry, have patience, because I am your God. I'm telling you that that is great. I'm telling you today that at any moment the enemy can come to you and tell you that there is something that he has that God has not given to you. And that will be an absolute lie. Brother Luis, how do you know that? Brother Luis, I don't understand. Why can you come to us and start telling us that there isn't anything that God is keeping from me? Have you seen how big the Bible is? I can assure you, because this Bible has been set down to two things. Love your God with all your heart and your neighbor as what? As yourself. Let me tell you today, brothers and sisters, if we understand to love God, if we understand to truly wake up in the morning and understand who wakes us up that morning, if we understand who our neighbors are, if we understand that it's our responsibility to take the gospel to them, if we understand that it's our responsibility to mimic, to reflect, to act as Christ, if we understand that we are filthy sinners, if we understand that we're in the need of a Savior, if we understand that that God is with us through good times and bad times, if we understand that without Him we are nothing, and if we understand that He's on our side, that is great news. I am asking you today to understand that we are living in the last moment of God of earth history. I'm trying to tell you today that the Bible is telling us, if you go to Matthew, God has told His, Christ is telling His disciple, make sure that you are not deceived. Great deception is being done today. And you and I have been blessed with the truth. You and I have been given the opportunity to know. The windows of heaven have been opened to us. What are we doing with the great that we have? Or is that not enough for you? I want us to go to the book of Esther. Interestingly enough, in the book of Esther, God is not mentioned. Now, fasting is, and prayer is, but in the whole book of Esther, God is nowhere to be present. But yet, what is present? The evidence of God is present. And you're wondering, you're saying to yourself, okay, you confused me with the memory verse. Now you royally confuse me with the book of Esther. Because what does the book of Esther have to do with great is not enough? And as we start the book of Esther, we hear that there is a king, and the king has an issue with his wife, and he decides to let go of her. And then another individual comes into play. And we're going to go to Esther chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate to the king's Chaldeans, Bithem and Tersers. I don't know much about names, but I apologize. For those which kept the door with warm and sought to lay hand on the king Artaxerxes. And the king was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther, queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. We have an interesting story coming on. We have this gentleman that is the one that guards the door of the king, and he's finding that there's a plot to kill the king. And now he's telling Esther, who is his family. And a lot of people, we want to talk about Esther. Esther was great. Esther was doing good. And then God gave him great. But we're not going to talk about Esther today. We're going to talk about someone else. So we have an individual that his only job in life is to guard the door. What an amazing job. Can you call yourself great if you are the doorkeeper? Let me tell you something. If you are the doorkeeper to the hearts of those individuals that are around you, then it is great to be that person. If the only thing that God asked you to do is to open the door of somebody and open the door of the heart of somebody around you, and they get to come to the baptismal and get baptized, let me tell you, that is great news. If that's all God asked you to do, let us glory to God that he has used us in ways to be able to change an individual's life. We continue. A new character is introduced to this story. It says, after these things, we're chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, did King, how do you say that name? Artaxerxes? Artaxerxes, we'll do that. Promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set him seat above all the princes that were with him. We now are introduced to a new gentleman. We now are introduced to a new gentleman that has been taken and has been put as the second most powerful man of the kingdom. Is that great or is that great? That is wonderful. Let me tell you, I would be walking so proud. I am second in command of the king. Now, this is, it continues. And all the king's servants that were the king's gate bowed and reserved Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But, there's a but there. He has everything. Everything has been given to him. His life is great. But it says here, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him revere. We have a predicament here. We have a problem here. We have a gentleman that is at the door, which usually is the one that is least looked at. Is the one that nobody knows the name of. And yet we have this gentleman that has been offered, given everything. But yet we are not happy because that gentleman is... I went ahead of myself. Let me continue. Because we don't know if he's happy or not. Maybe he is happy with that situation. Let me continue in verse 3. And it says, then the king's servant, which were in the king's gate, said to Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Brothers and sisters, are there earthly commandments? Are there things that are asked of us that are contrary to what the Bible is asking of us? Are there things that society is asking you to do today that goes against of what God asked you to do? Are there teachings that are happening today that is keeping people away from the truth of what the Bible tells? Are there things that humans require of you that God said, thou shalt not bow to anybody but whom? Only God. So if this question was asked of you, what would be your answer? Thank you, brother. It is God whom we bow to. Now it continues. We're going to, by the way, we are going to do the whole book of Esther, just so you know. We're going to verse 8. And Haman said unto the king Artaxerxes, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of the king, and their laws are diverse from all people. May I ask a question? Is there such person here today? Is there anybody in this room that the laws are diverse than all the teachings around? Is there any movement happening that they're teaching something different that is taught on every other place around? Is there anywhere where you can find the teaching of Genesis through Revelation, the Word of God being taught, that is diverse and different than what is being taught out there? Is there somewhere where you can go and find the truth of what the God is asking you to do, that it differs from somewhere else? Has things changed from this moment? I'm hoping today that the answer of that is yes. I'm hoping that there is still a group. I'm hoping that there is somebody that they can go to a king, to a premier, to a statesman, and they can say, those Adventists, they're not following your word. They're not following your statutes. They're not following what you put together. Those Adventists are going contrary to what we're trying to establish. Those Adventists, there's something different about them. And it says, if it pleases the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. Let me go into this rabbit hole for a second. Would there be, are we waiting for such a time? Would history repeat itself? Is there going to be a time that such decree will be given? Now, we go to verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the servant is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. When you look at this, everything is being handed to Haman. All is handed to him. Haman has been given the power to do what he wishes with his authority. But the main thing that he is wanting is to eliminate the Jews. Why? Why does Haman have such hatred towards the Jews? Haman had everything. His whole life was great. But his only thing that he had against is because there's one person in his life that will not bow down to him. One person in his life that will not give him the honor that everyone else has given him. And let me tell you today that is going to be you. You are going to be asked to be that such person. You are going to be asked to be the difference. You are being asked right now to be the light of the world. You're being asked right now to be the salt of this earth. You're being asked right now to bow down to no one. You're being asked right now to follow God. Brothers and sisters, God has given us an opportunity to be able to understand that when we follow him, there will be those who are going to come against us. But at the same time, we need to know that we have a God that loves us. We go to John chapter 8. And we're going to start with verse verse 12. And it says, then spake Jesus upon them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't know about you, but having the light of life for me is the greatest gift that I've been bestowed. Having the light of life, understanding the truth of the gospel, understanding the truth of the Bible, it is the greatest gift that I've ever been given. I'm hoping that today you understand that what you have is great and that it should be enough for you. I'm telling you that as you go through your daily life, as you go through your daily life and the Mordecais of your life are coming and asking you to, that's telling you how different you are. As the Mordecais in your life are telling you that you are a legalist. As the Mordecais in your life are telling you that you need to bow down to me. As the Mordecais in your life, you can, at the Haman in your life are telling you, you can be a Mordecai. You can be a Mordecai and you can say, I serve only God. The story continues to go that Haman planned this great elaborate plan to be able to destroy the kingdom, to be able to destroy the Jews. And it continues to the point where he gets that he hates Mordecai so much that he makes a post to hang him. And it's not until the Queen Esther goes and gives him the and tells the king, hey, look what's happening. But brothers and sisters, when the decree is set, nobody can change it but God. If you continue with the story of Esther, you can see that God intervenes in the life of Esther. That God put Esther in the right place at the right time, for the right moment, for the right movement, for the right opportunity, in order for you and I to be saved today. God puts us in areas in order for us to understand that it's not a mistake where you are today. God puts us in situations in order to understand that there's those around us that are needing of what we have. God puts us in situation where we have to understand that we may be the only person that can change the life of those who God puts in front of us. May this story help you understand that there is something that we ought to do. May this story help you understand that there is no mistake in what God does. The story continues to say that Mordecai, that Haman ended up being hanged on his own. But see, brothers and sisters, when we are against us, it's not him who paid the price. If we continue back in Esther, the story continues and tells us that not just him, all of his sons were killed as well. Our decisions have consequences. Our decisions have consequences. It continues, and then in chapter 9, it says, then when Haman went forth, that joyful and wishing great heart, but when Haman saw that Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up and moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. This is a gentleman that had everything. This is a gentleman that was given all. But because of one man that was not following, he was indignant of them. Brothers and sisters, this is what is about to happen to each one of us. We need to understand that there is something that's happening that our neighbors, our family members are going to feel the same way. There's something that we ought to share to the world. And today God is trying to let us know we need to stand up for Jesus. We need to stand up for the truth. We need to understand that there's something that is happening around us that we're the only one that may be able to share with those around us. Chapter 9. And verse 3 says, and all the rulers of the province and the lieutenants and all deputies and officers, the king helped the Jews because he feared of Mordecai, fell unto them. And it says, for Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces for this man. Mordecai was waxed great and greater. I'm hoping that today you understand what the story of Esther is trying to tell us. I'm hoping that you understand that what you've been given is a great opportunity for you to be a witness. I'm hoping that this message helps you understand that there's an opportunity for each one of us to know that no matter what you've asked, if you are the doorman of a king's palace, don't worry about the second lieutenant of the king. Because if you are faithful to God, a promise has been given to you. A promise has been given to you today. A promise has been joined to you today. That him who is coming against you has no power. A promise has been given to you today that him who created you, him who started the good work in you, will finish it. A story has been told today that you will be the light of this earth. You will be the salt of this earth. That you have a message that you need to share. And because you are faithful, and because you follow God, God is going to help you inherit the kingdom of God. A place where there will be no more suffering. There will be no more shout. When you look at the story of Esther, there are two things that are happening. There's a gentleman that had it all. His life was wonderful. But he chose to lose it all because of one man. But there's also a story. There's also a story in the Bible that because of one man, we gain everything. And I'm hoping that today we understand that. I'm hoping that today God is asking you to make the difference. God is telling you what I've given you is great. May that be enough for you. Don't let the world tempt you. Don't let the world tell you there is something different. Don't let the enemy, as he did with Eve, tell you that there is something that God neglected to give you. Let me tell you something. God has not neglected to give you anything. God wrote it all in a book of love. God wrote it all in a letter of love to tell you how much you mean to him. God loves you so much that he sent his only son, the one that nailed and formed you. The one that created from this word, the universe, him came and died on the cross. You have great news. May that be enough. May what God has done in your life be the one, the opportunity for you to understand there isn't anything else out there. But brothers and sisters, Mordecai was taken from being the doorman to being the greatest, second greatest in the kingdom. But he didn't just take the great second greatest of the kingdom to sit on himself and do nothing. He went out there to be able to save the multitude. Today, God is trying to tell you, I did not give you the word of God for you to sit at a church. I did not give you the word of God for you to sit at your house. I did not give you the word of God and salvation for you to just keep it to yourself. I'm giving it to you because there are people that are needing you today. There are individuals that are yearning for you. There are individuals that are suffering. There are individuals that need to know that he started in you. So I'm asking today, is great good enough for you? Or is there something else that God needs to do for you? Oh, my brother Luis. I don't know how to do Bible study. Oh, my brother Luis. I don't know how to teach the lesson. Oh, my brother Luis. I don't know how to preach. Welcome to the club. If you think that I can do all of those things, You are lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself because it's only He whom I ask to come speak through me who's speaking to you today. There's nothing in me that you cannot do. There's nothing in me that the Holy Spirit cannot use. Brothers and sisters, we have been given a great gift. But that gift comes with consequences. Not for us. That gift has no consequences for us. That gift has consequences of those that are around us. Because if we keep this gift to ourselves and we don't share this gift with those around us, their blood will be counted on our behalf. I'm hoping today that you understand that great is enough. I'm hoping today that you understand the sacrifice that Christ did for you. I'm hoping today that you understand that there is a God that is trying to tug at your heart. I'm hoping that you understand that these seats are empty. They're not empty because of anything, but they're empty because of me. They're empty because I'm not willing to accept the great that God has given me. And I always want more. They're empty because I'm not willing to represent God in all the ways that I can. They're empty because I'm not willing to be that model. I'm not willing to be that ambassador. And I'm waiting for the pastor to do all the work. Let me tell you, if you're waiting for the pastor to do all the work, the thing is that he's suffering just like you are. He's hurting just like you are. The enemy's attacking him just like you are. He's been prepared just like you have been. There's no difference between your pastor and you. The difference between your pastor and you is that he's willing to say, Lord, I want to give it all to you. Lord, I'm willing to go and be a ridicule. Lord, I'm willing to go and share the gospel with others. Lord, I'm willing to take all the offensive that comes. But let me tell you, the rewards are much greater. In this story, Mordecai was not looking to be the second in command. Mordecai was happy of being the doorman at the king's palace. But because he was willing to be the doorman at the king's palace, God blessed him with being the second in command. Brothers and sisters, are we willing to be a servant of Christ? Are we willing to take that he started? Are we willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us? Are we first willing to fall in love with him? Because that's what it's going to take. I don't care how long you've been an Adventist. I don't care if you were born on a Friday and on Sabbath you were at church. I really don't. It means nothing to God. What God is looking is for individuals that fall in love with Him so much. I don't know if you remember the first time that you were courting your wife. I remember. It was 30 years ago, but I remember. I was in Windsor. She was in Toronto. She was working for the conference there. And I remember every day I would call her. And I was on the phone with her every day for 2 or 3 hours. And we would talk. And it was so amazing. It was great. And I would tell everybody, oh, if you only know my girlfriend, she is the hottest thing. She is so smart. She can play the piano. She can sing. And she likes me. I told that to everybody. Why aren't I telling that about Jesus? Why aren't I telling that about Him who died on the cross for me? Why aren't I telling the world that there is a God in heaven that loves me and I want to share Him with you? I love Him, Father. Lord, I thank You. I thank You because You're an amazing God. I thank You because when You call us, Lord, You empower us. I thank You, Lord, because there are stories in the Bible, Lord, that we brush over. We love the story of Esther, Lord. We love how courageous she was. We love what You were able to do with her. But Lord, we neglect to understand what happened in Mordecai's life. We regret to understand, Lord, that there's an enemy. There is something in us that are always searching. There's somebody that is trying to take the blessings away from us. And there's somebody that's trying to stop us from understanding that there is something You require of us. Knowing the truth is not enough. Knowing that you exist is not enough. Reflecting you is not enough. We need to share. We need to come to the Word, and we need to share, and we need to show the world that we have a God that not only formed us, we have a God that not only died on the cross, we have a God that not only is coming to take us home, we have a God that wants every one of our brothers and sisters to be there with us. Lord, I implore you. I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit in this place. I ask that you pour out the Holy Spirit in every member that's here. I ask that you pour out the Holy Spirit in those who are watching us through the internet. I ask that you pour out the Holy Spirit, Lord, not for our sakes, but for our neighbors, for our sons, for our daughters, for our grandchildren, that they may see the Christ that started this work and they would fall in love with him like we have. We thank you and we love you in Christ's name. Amen.